Genesis chapter 2. Just study through a little bit of Genesis again, like we were starting the other, I guess it was Sunday morning. Genesis chapter 2. We'll read, you know what, I'm going to do this from the podium. I'm not going to draw tonight. I'll give you guys a break from my artwork. Genesis chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3 we'll read to start with. Says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we see God rested on the seventh day. He'd made everything in 6 days, rested on the seventh day. And the Seventh-day Adventists say, well, see, right there it goes. God sanctified the seventh day, and that's he sanctified the Sabbath. Well, it wasn't instituted as a Sabbath until Moses. Adam didn't keep the Sabbath. Adam was in the garden after he sanctified the seventh day, but Adam didn't keep the Sabbath because it wasn't a law. It wasn't given to him. It wasn't given to him until the Jews were actually here. Adam wasn't a Jew. I mean, the Jews come into existence through Israel, come into existence through Jacob, right? And he gave Moses the law, and he gave Moses the commandment to keep the Sabbath. So they say, well, God sanctified it, and he set it apart here, and everybody should always keep the Sabbath. Well, Adam didn't, Abraham didn't, you know, go on down the line until you get to Moses, they didn't keep the Sabbath. And that stuff, the law was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, I believe we should still have a day of rest. I mean, if God wanted a day of rest, good night. We know we need a day. Amen. But see, the Sabbath, the end of the creation time, was celebrated because of God's taking a break on the seventh day. We worship Jesus Christ on as a church family, we get together on this first day, the day of his resurrection. And again, I don't think God would be upset with us. I don't think he's going to cast anybody in hell or take your salvation if you wanted to meet on Monday. But we choose to do what the Bible says, and they met together the first day of the week. It talks about them bringing tithe in the storehouse the first day of the week, then meeting together and breaking bread the first day of the week. And that first day of the week is important because that's when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He was seen after that period, his resurrection, that first day. So that's why we, as a church, we meet together on Sunday. So what about Wednesday? Well, we're wicked, so we need to meet together more than one day a week. Amen. Honestly, it probably ought to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Maybe we take Monday off and you guys get a break from me. Amen. But we really need more than probably just well, you know you need more than 2 days a week. That's why I keep telling you, read your Bible on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Read your Bible. But this whole Seventh-day Adventist thing is kind of a mess. But that's where they take off and leave the runway right there with it and say, well, see here, God sanctified it. Verse number 4 says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. You notice what it says, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heaven. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You realize he created everything, all the heaven and the earth, in one day? In the beginning, he just did it. He created it. It was on the first day. And then he divided the heavens. There's three heavens now. There's where the birds fly, where the stars are, and where God is. So there's three heavens. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then he separated the heavens out, where he's in one spot, the birds are flying in another spot, the stars are between. Amen. And just like the Tower of Babel, man wants to create a spaceship so they can go up to heaven and pretend they're God. God's not going to let that happen, just like he didn't let the Tower of Babel happen. Amen. Same people trying to do that thing, the Baal group and all that junk. Look at chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. So Adam had a body. There was his flesh. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's his spirit. And man became a living soul. So there's God turning man into body, soul, and spirit. And remember, he said in Genesis 1, he said, "Let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image." And he formed Adam, give Adam a form, but he was void. Without form and void. You heard that before? Right? So he was formed, but he was void. He breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. From that point on, Adam was in the image of God until he sinned. And then Adam bare children after his own image, his sinful nature. So we're not all born in the image. Oh, we're all born in the image of God. No, we're all born in the sinful image of Adam until the second birth. That second birth, you're born in the image of God. That's where the world gets goofed up. They don't understand the second birth. They don't understand what sin did. They think that God's like Santa Claus, and he's sitting up the North Pole or something, handing out free gifts to everybody, whether you're good or bad. He's going to give you at least some coal, amen? And y'all are older, over 70, you know coal used to be pretty important.
Yeah.
If you have a light switch at home, you know coal's pretty important. But they used to use coal for, you know, bedpan warmers and stuff like that, amen? And different things. Coal, oil, amen? Oh, God just loves everybody, and everybody go, well, Jesus Christ died. Yeah, Jesus Christ died for the world, and the whole world's going to get saved, and everybody's just going to heaven because Jesus. No, everybody goes to heaven if they trust Jesus Christ, put their faith in what he did, the death, burial, and resurrection, and believe it. Repent and turn to him and trust him and call on him. You say, well, calling on you don't save you. No, but if you have a repentant heart, you'll call on him and ask him to forgive you and save you. You cannot call on him from the mouth and be saved. You can call on him and not be saved. Amen. If you're calling on him, what are you calling on him for? Well, you're not adding him to anything. You're calling on him and say, it's all you. I'm wicked. I deserve hell. You died for my sins. I believe that you rose again. I'm trusting you. I'll put my faith in you. I know your blood did it. Amen. I'm going to call on you and trust you for salvation. But here he is forming man of the dust of the ground and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. So there's three-part Adam right there. And there was something wrong with Adam after he sinned, right? Because he died spiritually, and he was headed to the grave physically. Jump over to verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. First of all, he didn't have all the creatures we have now because we have different parts of the same kind. You got 45 different dogs that are all the same kind. Amen. If you got a schnauzer, you got a chihuahua, you got a bull mastiff, they're all the same kind. You know, it's if you've got a panther and a mastiff, they're not the same kind. Amen. You got a blue baby and a pink baby, they're not the same exactly. Amen. There are differences in some things. But animals, the kind was whether they could reproduce or not. So there were different kinds. People said, well, there's no way, you believe that fairy tale, there's no way Adam named all the animals. Well, he didn't go through and name every elephant. There's Jim and Steve and Mark, but he didn't do that. He named the kinds.
Yeah.
That's an elephant. That's a hippopotamus. That's a giraffe. That's a possum. Why did you make a possum? That's a possum. That's a skunk. That's, you know, all this stuff. So yeah, Adam named all the kinds. And if he just went down there and fired out names about every 3 seconds, he could name all the kinds pretty quick. It wouldn't take him 4 or 5 years. It'd just take him maybe 10, 12 hours. You can name all the kinds. He didn't have anything else to do, right? So Adam named all the kinds, and God formed them. Now look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So right here, we see what we see is a type of Christ in the church. Adam, being the first Adam, he died for his bride. That sleep. If you think about what God does when he says sleep, people that fall asleep, this was before sin. Right? He slept. So he took Adam to death and died. He died for his bride and he brought him back. People that die in Christ don't die like other people die. They are asleep in Christ. Amen? What are they waiting for? The resurrection. Amen? The resurrection of the just because of Jesus Christ's righteousness. So here we see a type of Christ in the church. Adam died for his bride, brings his church, his bride come out of him. And we come out of Christ. We are, the reason we are his body and we are his church and we are his bride is because of his blood. We come out of Christ. We are born again by something that come out of Christ. And we will go back into Christ. If you're alive in Christ now because you called on trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, call on him, you're in him and he's in you and you're his bride. You're his body. You're his church. You're his hands and feet, if you will, on this earth. And should be his mouth and his ears and his eyes and all that other stuff. But we belong to him. We're his bride. Now look over at, down to verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." You know what you become when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You become his body. You know what that means? You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You know what that means? That means you're saved forever. Because you didn't just become somebody that he liked until you upset him. Yeah. You become his body. You become one with Christ. If you're truly saved, you are one with Christ. And I look at the comments on these people comment on these YouTube videos. When I listen to a video once in a while, a preaching video or something. Oh, you once saved, always savers. Okay, look. If you understood the Bible, you wouldn't have a problem with once saved, always saved in the church age. Because the body of Christ becomes the flesh, it's the flesh and bones of Christ. You are one with Christ. Amen? Amen? And it's a second birth. It's a new birth. And where people get confused, we don't have comments on our videos. If we did, we'd have some fun with that. Boy, that'd be a nightmare. Our audio or anything, but if you understood dispensations and understood rightly dividing, you won't have a problem with being saved and sealed in the church age. People were not born again before the church age. People afterwards, Israel's going to be born again as a nation, but individuals are under a different situation after the rapture because they go under a Jewish New Old Testament setting. So there's a difference between before Calvary and after the rapture. There's a difference. Those things are different, and between the rapture and Calvary are different. There's a little bit of a difference after the rapture because Jesus Christ in the millennial reign is actually going to be here on this earth. The tribulation is going to be a different time because they're going to be fighting an antichrist that's sitting on this earth. But born again is for church age people. And if you're born again, you're born again. You're born to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. In John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 14. I don't remember exactly what verse it is. But that's being adopted into the family of God. Once you belong to God, you're his. Amen. Because you belong, you're his son's bride. He looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. Amen. Because you're the body of Christ. And Christ looks at you and sees the bride. You know what? One day he's going to be joined up to his body. Amen. It's really not that complicated. I mean, people like to overcomplicate. Well, yeah, you once saved, always saved. You Baptist. No, it's not the Baptist. It's only people that believe that. Usually a lot of people believe that. Used to be some Methodists believe that, and some Pentecostals that believe that, and some Lutherans that believe that. I mean, Martin Luther, I don't think he thought he could lose your salvation. I mean, if you could, you'd lost it over some of the stuff they believed. But, but they didn't think that. It's not that. Blame it on the Baptist. The Baptist. You know, the Baptist. Now, a lot of people hate the Baptists because the Baptists still believe that stuff. Seriously. Amen. Not all of them, but a lot of the Baptists that still believe that stuff. Oh, you Baptist. If I never heard the word Baptist and somebody showed me what the Bible says, I believe the Bible. Amen. And that Bible says you're sealed. Amen. You're saved, you're sealed. You're set apart for a purpose. You're sanctified, you're set apart for a purpose. You don't have to live out your purpose to get to heaven. Amen. But you're saved. If you're saved, you're sealed and you're going to heaven. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:13, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The Bible says you're in the Father's hand, no man can pluck you out. The Bible says that if you're his sheep, talking about sheep not of the same fold as Israel, but if you're the fold, the church fold, the church sheep, the sheep hear my voice, and they shall never perish. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and English is almost like a second language to me. I'm not that good with it. But I know what never perish means. I wish our food in the fridge would never perish. Amen. Amen. You ever get in there, you get Miracle Whip? I hate it. I didn't want to get Miracle Whip for 3 months. I'd had to have it. I mean, I had to have it. You get in there and it's like yellow. You're like, what in the world is that? It's turning back into its original form. Well, you shouldn't have ate it anyway. But there it is. Jim says it's high fructose corn syrup in that junk. Don't eat it. Amen. Never perish means never perish. And again, one of the most simple, the simplest verses, I told you I have trouble with English, bear with me. One of the simplest things to understand in the Bible, the most simple verses, if you go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you match that verse up, you slide over to 1 John 5:13, these things that are written into you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. That's what 1 John 5:13 says. Check it out. And if you know you have eternal life, that means you know you have life eternally. So see, think about that verse again. These things have I written into you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. So there are people out there that have believed on the name of the Son of God, but they don't know they have eternal life. Why? Because they're not reading what's written. They're listening to what somebody says instead of reading what's written. Or they're reading a Bible that's not written the same, or something's wrong. Amen? And they want you to feel guilty. That's pretty proud. Pretty proud for you to believe you're once saved, always saved. I'm not the one that thinks I'm working my way to heaven. I mean, you're the one that thinks you're working to keep it. I mean, you're putting yourself right up there with Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. Or maybe above. I don't know where you're putting yourself. You're putting yourself way up here.
Yeah.
I'm just some bozo that realizes I should split hell wide open, but because of Jesus Christ, I don't have to.
Amen.
Amen. It's not a pride thing. I mean, good night, man. I checked my pride at the door when I hit my knees and said, Lord, save me.
Amen.
I'm not saying we don't have pride issues afterwards, but there was a point in my life where I realized it ain't me.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You once saved, always saved. Well, you know, praise God. It's because of him. You take it up with him.
Amen.
He's the one that saved me and gave me eternal life. I mean, you want to argue with God about it? Go ahead. Maybe he'll take yours back. I don't know. No, he won't. If you're really saved, you're going to heaven. Amen. Some of you are going coach. Some of you are going first class. Some of you are taking a single engine plane that's running out of gas, but you're going to make it. Amen. here's maybe a glider. Maybe Orville Wright's first mechanism. Amen. But eternal security. I mean, good night. Once saved, always saved. Look down at verse 24 and 25. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the woman, and were not ashamed. Okay, this is before sin. Okay, now listen, think about this. They were naked and they were not ashamed. They were ashamed. They tried to cover themselves up. They were still hiding. They were still ashamed. They couldn't cover themselves up. They had to have God make a sacrifice for them. All right? Now, you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and until then, no matter what, you're naked and ashamed. After you trust Him, you're covered with the perfect robe of righteousness and no longer ashamed. So they were naked, not ashamed before sin. After you're a sinner, you got to be covered and not ashamed. You're covered with Jesus Christ's righteousness. Amen. Remember what it says? Turn to Revelation chapter 3 real quick. That's the other end of the Bible, by the way. I'll be the one that won't be able to find it now. Revelation chapter 3. Let's start in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know why they're naked? They're not covered with the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. See that? White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. Isn't that something? So they were in the garden naked and ashamed because of their sin. Now, if you're a sinner, you get saved and you're no longer ashamed because you're covered with Jesus Christ's righteousness. Let's look at chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So here's the serpent comes along, and he's questioning God's word. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to question God's word. We talked about Genesis 1:1. That's the biggest challenge now, because that's what they do in science. You say, why do these kids, they say, we don't believe in God anymore. They don't believe in, you know, they don't believe the Bible. It's because in science class, they've destroyed their faith in Genesis 1:1. And they've told the kids that Genesis 1:1 is a fairy tale, and they can explain how it really happened when they can't. They can't really explain how it happened. Genesis 1:1 is fact. More so than any science, amen? How in the world could you say, well, we've explained God away because of the Big Bang in 6 gazillion years. Well, maybe not the Big Bang, but this, and then they keep changing. We go with what's always been the same. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's always been accepted by religious leaders and by Bible believers. So there it is, question God's word. But the serpent, think about this. The serpent. Now I understand there's a brazen serpent with Moses in the wilderness. They had to look on him, and he was a type of judgment where sin had to be judged looking on him as type of Christ. I understand that. And the serpent's a type of the Antichrist, the serpent in the garden. Think about what some symbols and things you see around the world and things you see in your own life. Think about the medical profession and the caduceus, the serpent on that staff.
Yeah.
Think about that. A lot of martial arts have trophies with serpents and stuff on them, and pennants with serpents and stuff on them. And it's wicked. It's wicked. And then you have, of course, you got the snake handlers, tempting God down there in the hills, you know. The farther they get from the hospital, the more they want to mess with snakes. Amen. That's crazy. Of course, the snake on the stick at the hospital might not help you either. You never know. Snake handlers, you get the serpent, which is the dragon, and then you got China, and what do they celebrate? The year of the dragon. Amen. Is it the year of the dragon yet? Is it close? Does anybody know? Is it the year of the monkey? That was the year of the baboon when this last guy got elected, right? But now it's the year of the donkey. No, but when it gets the year of the dragon again, maybe we'll be out of here and the dragon can have his place for 7 years. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Okay, look at chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, talking about deceiving Eve, because thou hast done this and art cursed above all thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There it is, talking about him bruising Christ's heel and Christ bruising his head. When Christ bruises his head, he bruises it on Calvary.
Right.
He's going to bruise it on Armageddon, and he's going to stomp it at Magog and Gog.
Amen.
Gog and Magog, and cast the devil in the lake of fire forever. And again, think about this. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, right? We're going to get a body like Christ. I hope it's soon. I really hope we don't make it through this year. This place is definitely a dumpster, and we need out of here. Lord knows best, though. But he tells the devil that on his belly he's going to crawl the rest of his life, so he got no arms and legs. It's a snake, that old serpent. And it talks about being in hell, people being in hell where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Well, the worm is a soul. I believe it's the soul of a lost man that's taken on the shape of the devil. The serpent. The worm. He's the serpent, right? The old serpent, the dragon, the devil. So it looks like that's what happens. We take on the image of Christ and the lost take on the image of the devil. And, I mean, forever in flames with that image. The only thing I have trouble with trying to figure this all out on that is probably in the lake of fire. Because in hell, people have a body shape. Yeah. Now, afterwards, at the judgment seat of Christ, or the white throne judgment, then it looks like if that happens, they're probably cast into the lake of fire and take on that serpent shape. Because right now, we know Lazarus and the rich man, we know the rich man had a body shape because he had eyes, he had a tongue, because he looked up and he wanted somebody to touch the tongue. So probably, if there's a good possibility, the great white throne judgment, when they're judged not in the book of life, they're conformed to the image of the devil. We're not conformed to the image of Christ yet. They're not conformed to the image of the devil yet. But I believe we will be at the rapture, and they will be at the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment. That's what it looks like. I'm not saying that's 100% sure, but something to think about. It makes sense. Now let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to end here tonight. We're going to kick this dog real hard. And Adam knew his wife, or Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So remember, now Adam had one nature before he sinned, then he had two natures. And the seed of Adam produced two natures, good and evil. Cain and Abel, the old man, the new man. That's what that represents. Now, there's a group of folks out there that are Bible believers, and they'll tell you that there was some kind of a physical relationship with the devil, and Cain was his. Look what the Bible says. If you're a Bible believer, read the Bible. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. That means physically knew her. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Cain was Adam's son, not the devil's son. Now, spiritually, you could say spiritually he was the devil's son because he lived like the devil. And he murdered the good one. But there wasn't a physical relationship between the devil and Eve that produced Cain. It was Adam that knew Eve, his wife. Right? So there are people on there I have a great deal of respect for. They'll tell you on the internet that it was something else. But right there it says it in one verse, clears it all up. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. So right there, it obviously discounts any relationship physical between the devil and Eve to produce Cain. So that's the end of that. We'll let that go there. And you look at a little further, you know verse number 2 again, it says, And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, type of Christ, but Cain was a tiller of the ground, type of the Antichrist, type of the picture of the curse that was on the ground, having to till the ground that Adam was under after sin in the garden.